WHO. This is Jack Shelley speaking from Tokyo Bay, Japan. As American troops moved into Tokyo for the first official day of actual occupation of the Japanese capital, a sort of secondary or byproduct invasion soon got underway. That was the invasion of the handful of Tokyo stores and shops which still have any goods to sell. An invasion by American GIs with money in their pockets and a burning desire to buy some souvenirs to take back home. When we first landed on the shores of Nippon, an English-speaking Jap told me there weren't any shops open in Tokyo. But when we got there, we'd find you couldn't even buy a postcard in the capital city, because every business place was closed. Turns out he wasn't quite correct, but he wasn't far from being right. You can come pretty close to counting on the fingers of both hands the stores that are still operating in Tokyo, and most of them are about as far from doing business as usual as it's possible to get. They have very little to sell. That's mainly a result, of course, of the almost unbelievable destruction wrought in Tokyo by our bombing. When you walk through the business section of the city, along the famous Ginza, as I did with American troops who came in with General MacArthur, you see that dozens of the modern business buildings that appeared at first glance to be intact have been completely gutted by fire. Still others have been so badly damaged that only parts of them are usable. In peacetime days, Tokyo had a good many modern department stores, much like ours in the States. Only two or three of them are still running, and those on a much curtailed basis. Typical is the big Matsuya store, where I saw dozens of GIs trying to find something to buy. Only the two lower floors of the six-story building are in use. The upper floors have been damaged by bombs. And in the sections that are still being used, a collection of shoddy goods is displayed on counters that look as if they were salvaged from the wreckage upstairs and placed wherever the room could be found. Piles of boxes and odds and ends, apparently rescued from the storerooms, are stacked in corners of the display quarters. The business offices are on other sections of the same floors, merely roped off from the crowd gathering around the counters. I think it might be well right now to warn anyone back home who has relatives among the occupation forces over here not to expect anything very fancy in the way of presents bought in Tokyo. There's very little left worth buying in these stores. The stock I saw, for example, consisted mostly of cheap prints, some poorly made cigarette boxes and cases, a small number of figurines and vases made of china, and a scattering of other knickknacks. Above all, if you have a boyfriend or a husband over here, don't expect one of those lovely kimonos or obis that Japanese women used to wear. In the first place, the women haven't worn them over here since the war began. And secondly, there don't seem to be any in the stores. There may be a few of them somewhere in Tokyo, but if your man brings one home, you can count yourself mighty lucky. So far, I don't know anyone who's been able to get one. But in spite of the shortage of any really first-class merchandise in the few shops of Tokyo, the GIs have swarmed in to buy something, almost anything, as a souvenir. I watched them all one afternoon, the first day they marched into the capital, swarming up to one counter after another. It isn't easy to buy things in a Tokyo store. For some reason, there seem to be fewer people who speak English there than almost anywhere else in the city. So there's more waving of hands and pointing and shaking of heads than there must have been in the Tower of Babel as the deals are closed. The prices vary a lot. The cheaply built items can actually be bought for about what they're worth, which isn't much, especially at the official exchange rate of 15 American dollars for one Japanese yen. But the few worthwhile items are extremely high in price. They were asking $10 American for carved cigarette holders that certainly are worth nowhere near that amount. Incidentally, the Japs apparently know a windfall of business when they see it and plan to make the most of it. One soldier told me the price of a certain article in one Tokyo store had gone up more than $3 during the day. Just wait, he said, till you see what they ask for tomorrow. But the GIs are buying and paying the prices without haggling in most cases. And at the rate they're going, every knick-knack in Tokyo will be cleaned out before long, unless the Japs get some more supplies for the strange new tourist trade. I couldn't help wondering, as I watched our men in those stores, how would it be if things were reversed and Japanese occupation troops were entering American stores in search of souvenirs. Do you think there'd be the same polite asking of prices, the same paying of the full amount, the same friendly smiles and respect for the feelings of the merchant? You know there would not. As one of my roommates, a Chinese correspondent, told me, when the Japs moved into a place in China, they usually battered down the doors of the shops, took everything they wanted, hauled off the men workers as slaves and the women for their amusement, and then, more often than not, burned the place down. If a Jap entered a store in China and merely took what he wanted without paying, said my Chinese friend,
he was a very high type of fellow
because he didn't do anything worse. Well, we're doing things differently in our occupation of Tokyo. I hope it's being appreciated. This is Jack Shelley in Tokyo Bay, returning you to Des Moines.